much pressure out there. Like, your Instagram has to be perfect. You have to be perfect. Your work has to be perfect. And there's really no room to grow if you're not really taking the time to slow down and learn it and perfect it.
Hey, Slay. Hey, everyone. It's me, Jay, and I'm with my girl, Nina. And welcome back to the No Stylist Left Behind podcast. We got to give a big shout out to our sponsors at Oligo Professional. Nina, oh my goodness. The day is here and we have a special guest. And you know we're coming in hot, everyone. So you know what that means. Brace for impact.
Oh, because we have a special guest. Listen, I was waiting because when you come in hot like that, I was waiting say all my last names, like
Nina Tulio, Ladner, Winfrey.
Go all in with all the names, right? I was waiting for that because we have a very special guest today. And I know we're going to learn so much, and I know we're going to dive deep. And I think that it's just going to be lit. So let's just dive right on it. We don't even need to talk about anything because we're just excited to have our guest here. So I'm just going to bring in our guest. Her name is Patricia Nicole, and she is the Wella Global Ambassador. And you probably otherwise know her on Instagram as Painted Hair. So
yes,
welcome.
Yes.
So happy to have
you. Thank you guys for having me. I'm so happy to be here with you today.
Yes. We're just
fired up.
Yeah. We're excited to get to know you a little bit more. Obviously, we see all of the beautiful content creation and everything that you're sharing on Instagram, but let's get to know a little bit more about you, the person. So, you know, the person behind all of that. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about your story? So how you got started in the industry, why you chose this business, and how you landed where you are today.
Yeah. Okay. So I have been in this industry for 20 years, which is, wow. When I think about it, it went by really fast. I have always loved hair, and I started early on in school at doing advanced art. So that was something I was really passionate about. And so I, once I started doing hair, so I got a full ride scholarship, which was the reason why I was even able to be a part of this industry, because I didn't have the money to go to school. So someone really believed in me and gave me an opportunity, and that really start an amazing journey, because I always took that with me everywhere I went. And as I grew, I still had that same mentality that I wanted to pay it forward. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was really sort of every little stepping stone from where I started to where I am now is, you know, just really holding on to that. And so, you know, like I said, giving it back, and then also just working hard towards keeping the principles of art, advanced art, which I love, and turning it into high contrast hair painting. And that's how I created Painted Hair.
Yes.
You've been in the business for 20 years, and I listen, because yep. I'm right with you there, 25. Things have changed so much in this business. And over the years, when you've made some shifts, right? Like, what did it look like when you first came out of school? Where did you work? What did you do? Were you in a commission salon? Were you, you know, kind of just finding yourself? Were you on your own? Like, what did that transition look like? And then through the years, how you ended up more so shifting into just pure content creation?
Oh yeah. So when I first started, you know, I did an apprenticeship. So I worked in a salon and I had a mentor, and through the salon, it was an Aveda salon, and they had the Aveda curriculum, which is how they were able to do apprenticeships. So I worked there, got my license. And then as soon as I got my license, it was time to go. I actually, my mentor and I went to another salon together, and we did booth rent. So because I had that education and that advanced training, I was able to actually start booth renting my second year. And it worked out beautifully. I mean, I learned so much from her, and that was just really the beginning of that. So I never did any commission salon or anything like that. But I think that it is a good way to build. It's a good stepping stone if you are somebody who needs to build their career in the beginning and have the support of a salon, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I love it. I do want to ask this. When was that journey like with content creation throughout your like journey and as a hairdresser? Like, what year did you start tapping into that?
So that's really interesting because I started my content creation journey all the way from MySpace. So in my first marriage, I was married to someone who was in the Army and he was deployed. He was deployed to Iraq multiple times. And so I had two small children when I was going through the program. And so I wasn't able to like go out and meet people. So I had to use MySpace as a tool to have people. So what I would do is I would take my digital camera, I would take pictures and I would upload them into, my pictures on MySpace. And then I would search for people in my zip code. And that's how I was able to get people to come in. I would become
on MySpace.
So I had that foresight. I was like, man, this is, people are on here like trying to date people or find a boyfriend. I'm here trying to find hair models.
Right.
So it worked out like that. It was really cool.
Wow. Listen, and MySpace, for the people who don't know what MySpace is, because
hi.
I mean, because
there are people that don't know,
they
right?
They don't know. They don't, yes.
You're like, wait, what's MySpace? Let me Google that. Because MySpace was one of those platforms where you could meet people, you could
do
business, you would just post images, pictures of yourself, and share your like every day, but it was so different than what it is like in terms of what we're talking about in Instagram and even, a Facebook.
Yeah. And,
but I love that you were using that platform already back in the day. Like you said, people were dating on MySpace. People were looking for other people, but you're like, I'm trying to build a business.
And
I would imagine that you kind of just took what you were doing on MySpace. And then when Instagram popped up, what did it look like when Instagram popped up? Like, were you literally just diving in and constantly creating content and showing up every day and sharing information, or was it more of like a slower process for you?
Okay. So we cannot forget that MySpace wasn't, so I had a transition where I left because I lived in Georgia at the time. And so I, came back home to California and I'm from Sacramento. So that's where I moved back to. And there was no Instagram. It was only Facebook. Hmm. So I took the same sort of idea because I started at a brand new, I wouldn't call it a brand new salon. It was actually a pretty old salon. But anyways, I loved it. I appreciated it. I was just grateful to be there. So I took, obviously, because I couldn't take my business from Georgia and I had actually built a really big business there. I had to leave it all behind once I got a divorce. But I moved back to California and to Sacramento to be with my family. And then I started there and then I took the same principles that I used from MySpace and I took it over to Facebook. So yes. I was doing the same thing on Facebook. I was uploading my pictures, adding people, and that's how I grew my business as well. I also did the old fashioned handing out business cards because that was really important.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Flyers on cars. Did you do that? Cause I did that shit.
Yeah.
Same.
When I was looking for models, during the day when we would go out for lunch, we would hand out models or hand out business cards to find potential models. But then that sort of slowed down as we progressed, like as years went by, it was just sort of easier. More people were online, I would say. So it was just easier. But I had Starbucks right across the street from the salon I worked at in Sacramento. So I would actually go over there and meet people and hand out my business cards during lunch.
Mm. I love that you brought up that. You know what I mean? Because I feel like right now there's those opportunities, but they look a little bit different, right?
Yeah.
But like those newer stylists, like if you like going out or you're at Coachella or like you're at, those are the your areas now, right? Like where you connect and you're like, oh my God, let's exchange Instagrams. Maybe it's not a card. It's more digitally like conversation. So being aware of like your surroundings and knowing what you need for your business and fulfilling that, right? Because everything now is at their fingertips.
Yeah, for me, it was about having clients in the chair. That's really, you know, there was no social media content or creation at the time. So
yeah.
If you were creating content or you were posting your picture, so what I would do, even starting from MySpace, is I would post before and afters. And yes. So that was sort of what progressed throughout before and afters on MySpace, Facebook, and then Instagram started. So I just did the same thing on Instagram. I just started posting pictures of my work before and afters. And really the goal was not to, again, there was no content creator. There was no influencer marketing. There was nothing like that. Nobody, I mean, really, it was just because I wanted to be a busy stylist and I wanted to put clients in the chair and maybe have a little bit more reach than Sacramento. Maybe let's take it to the Bay Area. Let's take it to Stockton, you know, wherever else around in the surrounding area.
Oh my God. Yes. And I just want to say this, because what I'm hearing throughout your journey from MySpace, from Facebook, from Instagram, and I'm sure even, you know, now that we're into TikTok, I want to say this word because it probably is one of my favorite words ever is consistency.
Yeah.
You created consistency with how you moved through each platform. And it sounds like you didn't, now there's always learning curves, right? With every platform. Right. But like you took what you knew and your knowledge and your information, and you may have been uploading differently. You may have been using different lighting or cameras, but the consistency throughout and the message, the goal always was to get people in your chair. You just move platforms. That's it. So I think when people are listening to this and they're thinking like, how do I build quick. First of all, it doesn't happen quick. Nothing happens quick in this business unless you get hit, right? But the consistency of sharing information, but the consistency of your message, that's most important. I wanted to point that out because I think we're in such a digital world where we think that things happen so fast.
Right.
But this shit, you've been working on this shit for 20 years. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, and I know that there's been some trials and tribulations, which, you know, we're going to get into.
Yeah, definitely. And I would say exactly what you said, consistency. And I think what it is now is that, you know, there are a lot of new stylists out there. There are a lot of people that see that everything is so rushed. Like, you're almost expected when you come out of school or wherever your apprenticeship or whatever to have it all figured out. Like you need to already be making, you know, six figures or like,
right.
See, there, it's just like, there was never that pressure for me. And so I think because there wasn't that pressure, I was able to relax and enjoy the journey a little bit more. And I was able to build these relationships with my clients to where it wasn't like, I mean, I think it's very important to, you know, have your business on point, but I also think that there's a relationship aspect to your clientele. And yes. I think sometimes it gets overlooked because it's like, you almost see your clients as like, this is what I need to be earning today. This is how it needs to roll out.
Yeah.
And you have to remember too, like stepping back, I mean, I'm friends with my clients for 20 years, you know, and it's like, that is super important. And obviously people stay and people go, but I could talk forever about where I started price-wise and how I doubled and tripled my prices on them and they stayed loyal to me.
Right.
So
absolutely.
I just feel like there's so much pressure out there. Like your Instagram has to be perfect. You have to be perfect. Your work has to be perfect. And there's really no room to grow if you're not really taking the time to slow down and learn it and perfect it.
And
yes, absolutely. And I'm sparked right now with like, it's leading me right into our little pivot really quick. Mm-hmm. I want to dig a little bit deep with you, Patricia, about, you know, when you view your life, my life, Nina's life, right, on social media, one may think, oh my God, they have it all together. Everything was easy. That number of followers, that the number of likes, whatever that is, right? Like the perception is perfection, right? But
right,
in reality, we're all human. We're all navigating life. And you've had 20 years in this industry. And what we do like to do is give back to our listeners. And what would you say is maybe one of your biggest challenges through your journey as a hairdresser, and not only your challenge, but how did it make you stronger? How did you get out of it? And what did that look like? Because the reality is we all struggle, you know?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I got married really young. So I was 18 when I got married. And through my whole journey doing hair, you know, I've been a mom, and then I was also a single mom. So I met my husband in 2013, but, you know, from 2007 to 2014, I was, you know, by myself. So I think that was really a big struggle, but I did have the support of my family. And so if I didn't have that, I don't know what this journey would have looked like. You know, it would have been totally different. So, I mean, during that time, I was able to leave a solid business, move from, you know, one side of the US back to the other, start all over again, and then start again. You know, it was like really being able to have the support is what got me through it. But if I didn't have that, I don't know. So I try to think about, you know, there are some stylists out there that don't have support, that don't have somebody to help them with their kids, that don't, you know, and that can make you feel and actually make you like 10 steps behind. And so that's why my biggest message is just take it where you're at, like take life where you're at. And even now I have a 3-year-old, so I have 2 older children and then a 3-year-old. So I feel like we're just like balancing everything, and it's definitely not easy.
Wow.
Yeah. I can imagine. And I think that's the reality of it. You know, no matter what anybody sees on Instagram, no matter what anybody reads, it's like, there's always stuff going on behind the scenes. And when it comes to balance, because I think this is important, and, you know, we do have a lot of moms that are listening.
Yeah.
With, you know, how do you find balance? Because I think there also is, again, with the word pressure, I think there is a pressure where, you know, you want to chase your dreams and your career, but you're a mom. And I hear this a lot, and even from, you know, my former stylist and just people that I know. How do you find balance? And balance is different for everyone, but how can a stylist find balance when they are juggling their career and then also being a mom?
Yeah, I know. I get asked this a lot. Like, how do you do it? How do you do it when you have a 3-year-old who, like, I absolutely adore. He's our world. How do you balance like your older children and all the things that they have going on? And I'm just like, you know, honestly, I take it a day at a time. I have a plan and I have a schedule, and then I adjust my schedule accordingly. And I'm a very balanced person. So I need to have like my family working out, you know, everything's okay here. And then my business, everything's working out. Everything's okay. Time for myself. And really, like I said, the way that I do it is I just take it a day at a time. Yeah. I just, you know, and I keep a routine. So as much as I can keep that routine, it really helps me to keep that balance. So I wake up at the same time every morning. I know what I'm going to eat. Like and for me, that's really like how I keep it together.
Yeah. I think routine is so important. I mean, it is so incredibly important. And again, it's the consistency with your schedule, with your children's schedule, with your work schedule. Yeah. You know, it's really creating that routine where you feel comfortable, you know? So I think, I'm glad that we touched on this, because I know it really is a big thing trying to find balance. We talked about the newer stylists coming out of school, or even stylists that have, you know, been in the game for a couple of years, right? Still kind of looking and finding themselves as hairstylists. What advice would you give, or maybe you have a couple, 2-3 pieces of advice, but what advice would you give to the stylists who are just entering this amazing industry, or even the stylists that are a couple years in that are really still trying to find themselves as an artist?
I would say figure out what it is about you and what you love to do that's unique. And really focus on that. For me, it's like I loved when I started my career, I remember all we did was highlights and lowlights. So when I see the work now that's like coming out, I appreciate it, because I'm like, man, that's all we did. And I And I love it because I can see how it's like, how it's evolved. But for me at, in my heart, I'm like, I'm a painter. I'm a hair painter. I do high contrast hair painting and I like to stay true to that. So if there's something unique about you or your vision that you see with hair, even if there's someone who's like, I'm a gray coverage specialist, yes. I would say specializing now more than ever is so important. And that is how you are going to grow. I think it's really easy to look at everybody's work online and say, I need to look like that. So I feel like I can do that work too. But I think it's really finding what you love to do, what you want your page to look like, what you're really good at, and going from there. And also taking a bunch of education as much as possible from whoever you look up to, because we didn't have that. And I think that if I would have had that education, you know, earlier on in my career, it would have helped me a lot. So yeah. I think that taking, you know, there's education, there's so many tools and resources available, and just taking advantage of all of them, investing, taking them as a tax write-off, like remembering that you need to be able to give your clients the best. And you also want to be confident in what you're doing every day. So education is key.
Woo! Amen. Amen. I'm fired up, Patricia.
I'm like, I could talk all day.
I literally, day. This was so amazing. Like, I love having you on the podcast.
Listen, oh, I'm so happy.
I know. This is so, I'm inspired right now because, same. And I want to ask you this because I think you said something that I want to point out. You know, you said sure. that they have to find what they like, what they love, what they want to specialize yes. in. Do you feel like, because I know this happens a lot where people maybe come out of school and already they want to niche down. Like, I'm just kind of curious your take on that. Because I believe that when you come out of school, you don't know who you are yet as an
right.
artist. Right. So searching for yourself. Can people niche down too soon? Like, do you think they should get their hands in everything first and then realize like what it is that they truly love? What's your take on that?
Sure, definitely. I think, so for me, I already knew right out of, you know, finishing my apprenticeship that I didn't want to do perms and I didn't want to do men's cuts. So immediately that was off of anything that I offered. So I knew, you know, color was going to be my focus and my specialty, but I also, you know, you had to either be a cutter or a colorist. And I said, I wanted to do both. And so I knew that I was going to do both. I was going to incorporate both in my career. Because I like the kind of start to finish process. I like to be able to see my clients from the moment they sit in the chair. And I like to see them all the way throughout the whole into the finish. So that I knew I was going to focus on color, but some people, I think they should try everything, but I would say that not everybody is going to be proficient at every color technique right. either. And yep. so there's a fine line because there could be frustration where people are not going to be really great at, you know, creating somebody platinum all over. Like that's going to be really difficult for them. Or, you know, there's a lot of things and that's where education comes into play. And so I feel like you said, really practicing a whole bunch of different things, starting out maybe your first year and then maybe figuring out where you want to go from there.
Yes.
That makes sense. And I think it's, you're not going to be great at everything.
No.
And I think, you know, when you get into understanding who you are and what makes you unique and special and what you have to offer, that elevates what your skill set in terms of like what you want to master, if you will, or what you want to specialize in. So it's building confidence, but also figuring out what you really enjoy. And I think, you know, part of building confidence and part of understanding what your niche is that you got to make mistakes, but you can't make mistakes unless you get in there and try it. You know, so totally. I think it's kind of like, you know, just piggybacking off of what you said, I think it's really important. And it's also important to understand that you're just not going to be great at all the things, you know?
For sure.
Yeah. As a new stylist to understand that, because there is pressure, you know, you mentioned that early on. I think there is a lot of pressure. This has been amazing. Where can people find you? I know that you have a lot of education and things that are happening. I checked out your website. It's so lit. So where can people find you if they want to learn from you?
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram under Painted Hair or TikTok under Painted Hair. or I have also my online education, which is amazing. We pour our heart and soul into it, and it's www.thepaintroom.com. So that is for, I mean, my online education has business, social media, anything you really want to learn that, you know, I have mastered in my business, I pour it into to my online love platform. It. So, oh,
yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so, so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to share with us today and with all of our listeners. We're so thankful.
This is great.
I know we could probably talk for hours, right?
I know.
Same. Let's do a series.
Yes.
I love
it. We're down.
That's awesome. So make sure that you go and follow Patricia on Instagram I don't want to say it wrong. It's the Painted Hair, right?
No, Painted Hair.
Painted Hair. Let me get my shit together. Painted.
Oh, you know what? I know what you're thinking. You're thinking the paint room. Cause that's, yeah, I was talking about. Yeah, exactly.
I combined them all together. So paintroom.com and Painted Hair on Instagram.
Yes.
And make sure you check out our sponsor at Oligo Professional on Instagram at Oligo Pro, my best guy at It's Mr. J Ladner, and myself at Nina Tullio. And if you learn anything from listening to us today, please know that it is okay to live in your truth and remember to always live your life out loud. See you next time.